It's a good day to be in church. We're starting a new series for the next probably 3 weeks or something along those lines, called Since He's Listening. For a while I've wanted to do a series on prayer and be able to just share a little bit about prayer and imagine what could happen in our church if we would decide to pray. And as I've sort of scoured ideas and looked around and tried to establish, okay, if we're going to talk about prayer, where's the place that we start? What do we need to know about prayer? What should it look like if we're going to pray? How are we going to do that? I started looking around, and there were all sorts of people who had all the ways that if you pray this way, you know, then God will move this way. And if you just do this, then here's how God will work. And God is waiting for you to unlock Him in this sort of manner or whatever. I saw all of that all over the place, and I thought, well, is this really the heart of God? God, is this really where You'd want us to go? Is prayer really, is what we want to learn from prayer, that once we pray, then we'll get something good and we'll find some sort of results and everything will be fine and good and we'll be able to boss God around and it'll be great? Or is it that we actually should learn that prayer is a little bit more about relationship? Amen. We start actually with this concept that since God is listening, I didn't want to call it He is listening because it just sounded like He is listening. Good, their sermon series is done. But since He's listening, it leaves us saying, since He's listening, what should happen? Since He's listening, what should we be doing? Since He's listening, are we talking? Are we praying? Are we coming to Him? Since He's listening, are we allowing our hearts to be opened up to Him and allowing Him to just heal us through being together and spending time together? Since God is listening, do we pray? There's a lot of people, when we start talking about prayer, that say, oh, yeah, prayer. I did that before. I've done that in the past. I've taken part in prayer, and I've done my thing. I've done it in a church, and I've done it on my own, and I've prayed, and I've done all my things, but I stopped praying because it doesn't work. It didn't work that time. You know, I tried it, it didn't work out, so I just stopped praying. It's usually people who were praying for a parking spot and they didn't get it, you know? Driving through the parking lot, Lord, You're the creator of the universe. You can open up a parking spot, right? No parking spot, I'm done praying. You know, we just cut it out. Cut it out of our lives. The problem is, well, what if someone else is praying for that same parking spot, right? Okay, God, which one's better? And that's when we start deciding, okay, if you pray a certain way. So, God, I want that parking spot. I know that guy's praying for it too, but I'm going to do this kind of move, and then all of a sudden, boom, I get the parking spot. You know, or I'm going to pray for two minutes longer than him, or say the right words, or quote scripture, hallelujah, and I'm going to then get the parking spot for sure. There's this pastor that I know down in the States. I listen to him. I really appreciate who he is. But every single week, he prays for the Seahawks. He goes, God, we know Seahawks are Your team. No, it says that every time. But I don't listen to pastors all over, but I wonder if there's other pastors saying, Lord, we know the Patriots are Your team. And Lord, we know the Browns are Your team. Yeah, Lord, and everyone's doing that. Well, who gets the God glory, you know? Who gets that little anointing? If everyone's asking for it, we all want the same result, who gets it? And so when prayer becomes this result-based thing, we can kind of start to get a little bit confused. Well, why did it work this time and not another time? One time I was at a youth retreat, and we were praying, we were at a campfire in the morning. And as we were there, I was the leader of the trip at the time, and I said, hey, students, I want you to tell me something. Tell me about a time where God answered a prayer for you. Tell me about a time where you felt like God answered the prayer. What did that look like? And this one girl starts, and she says, well, actually, I'd like to start with a prayer that God hasn't answered. I said, well, that's for another time. We're doing this right now. Just kidding. I said, okay, tell us about it. What's that all about? She had this big thing that she was dealing with. She said, I don't get it. I've prayed and I'm believing and I hold on and I have faith and I do that. I really think that I should probably have gotten an answer by now. I should have gotten the thing by now. Why isn't it happening? And then this other guy chimes in with no level of social awareness at all. But anyways, he jumps in and he goes, "Hey, no, no, no. God answers your prayers. Here, I'll tell you one of my stories. Yeah, last week, I couldn't find my textbook." I'm like, oh boy, where are we? What just happened here? You know, this girl's bearing her soul, and he starts talking about his textbook. He goes, "So I prayed, God, will you just show me where my textbook is?" And I opened my backpack, and there it was. You know? I'm like, "Oh, probably was there the whole time, buddy. It wasn't prayer that did that. What did you do?" But there is sort of this tension where we say, this seems to be answered this time, and this one didn't get answered that time. And I prayed the same way this time, and it didn't seem to come into fruition. What happened? Because I'm still just as passionate. I'm still just as real. I'm still just as authentic. Why aren't I getting the same result in this situation as the last time? When we don't get the result that we're looking for, and that's the point of prayer for us, we'll throw it out. Why would we pray if prayer is about getting a result and we're not getting the results we want? My mom one time got me shampoo to help me with my balding problem. And that was embarrassing in the moment. But anyway, she got me the shampoo and conditioner set. And I would have never bought it because it was expensive, but she's a hairdresser, and so she said, "Evan, use this. I hate to break it to you, but you're losing your hair." And I said, "Okay, I'll use this for a little while, Mom. I'll give it a go, whatever." And so I read the instructions on the back of this thing. And it's like, okay, do counterclockwise, small swirls for this amount of time. And then you do straight back and forth. And then you're going to poke your head like this. And then do the hokey pokey and do all these things. And so I'm sitting in the shower for like 3 hours a day, trying to figure out, okay, this is going to be good, though. I'm going to have a nice, luscious, full head of hair afterwards. And then I used the conditioner, and it felt like I put toothpaste on my head. Like, it's cold and just not nice. And then I get out with a towel, and it says, "You cannot rub your head with a towel. You have to dab dry." And so it's like, do not move a hair, you know? Don't do it. And needless to say, it didn't work, right? Shampoo and conditioner didn't work. And I'd go up to my mom, like, "Mom, this stuff is just bogus. It doesn't work. I'm not going to use it." She goes, No. You must be using it wrong. You got to be using it wrong. This stuff works. You got to figure out how to..." "No, I read all the instructions. I did all the things. It just doesn't work for me. My hair is falling out. Let's face the facts, Mom. You're going to have a bald son, okay? Sorry." But sometimes we do that with people in prayer, don't we? "Oh, really? It didn't work for you? I see. Yeah. So tell me about the secret sins in your life. You know? Oh, really? It didn't work? Huh? That's interesting. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell me all your failures, because this is clearly your fault. Because you're not getting what you asked for. And we all know that God is some genie just waiting to do whatever we ask. No, he's not. God wants a relationship with us. He starts that way with us. He starts by saying, "I want to listen to you. I want to spend time with you. I want to have intimate moments with you. I want to know intimate details about your life. I want to do this together. I don't want you just to come and tell me, 'Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. If you don't, I'm out.' I want you to come to me and let's grow together. Let me heal your heart. Let me protect your heart. Let me give you a place to hide, just like my kids wanted that with me. Let's do that together." You say, "Well, how do we do that?" Well, Jesus was asked that same question. "Jesus, how do we pray? How are we supposed to pray about this?" I mean, there's lots of things in Scripture. You can look all through Scripture and see different ways people prayed or different moments in prayer, people with faith praying a certain way. And we're going to talk about some of those, people persevering in prayer in certain ways. We're going to talk about some of those in the coming weeks. But at this one moment, in fact, it's found twice in Scripture. We're going to look at those in the next couple weeks. Jesus is asked, "Well, how do we pray? What does that look like? And what should we do in those moments?" And the way Jesus responds in Matthew 6, 5-8, reveals something about what he thinks the result of prayer should be. Matthew 6, 5-8, "And when you pray," Jesus is preaching at this point to a number of people, "do not be like the hypocrites." Good one, Jesus. So far, so good. for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Jesus says, let's just start. When you pray, your prayers are never to be seen by people. Yeah, but God, isn't it so important that when we pray, like that's a bit of a witness that shows our work committed to you, and that's the way. No. You never pray to be seen. If you're seen when you pray, okay. But you never pray to be seen. That's not the point of prayer. Don't start with that. Because all of a sudden someone might say, wow, what a great prayer. I got that when I was a youth kid. I was one of the only youth kids that was taking faith seriously when I was a young guy. And so it was kind of, it would just happen that way. But I remember I would pray, and then someone would say to me, wow, what a passionate young man. You know, listen to you pray. That's great. We love how you pray. And so the next time I'm thinking, okay, how did I pray last time? Because I need to do that again, because I liked when people said nice things about me. So I'm going to pray that same way. And you get up and you sort of, okay, this is it. This is how I will pray, because I am a really passionate prayer. You know? And people say, wow, what a religious guy. You know, what a powerful, that is so great. Jesus says this about those guys. He says, truly I tell you that they who do that have received their reward in full. In other words, Jesus is alluding to what he's about to say, that there's a different reward for prayer than people's praise. If you get the praise, wow, way to go, you're such a nice prayer. Oh, that's fine, but don't expect anything else. That's fine, but don't look for the other thing. Well, I want a relationship with you, God. Well, then stop making all of your prayers in front of others so everyone else can see. Because a relationship with me is a reward. And I told you clearly that the only reward you get if your prayer is for everyone else to see and for everyone else to take part in. You know, if you go and just want to pray in front of everyone, if that's your goal, then your only reward is what others say about you. So he says, there's something different. He says, but when you pray, go into your room. What? Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. When you pray, go to your room. What? Why? God, aren't you with me wherever I go? Can't I pray to you when I'm at the mall and I want to find some money in my wallet that I don't think is there? Can't I pray when I'm about to write a quiz and I forgot about it and I actually would really like your help on that? Can't I pray for that one? Well, can't I pray when I'm walking down the street and I want a little bit of courage and to speak to someone about you? Can't I? Aren't you there? Aren't you with me in all of those times? Yes. He's with you in all those times. He doesn't say, you know, you can't pray that way. You shouldn't ever pray with me. I'm never with you. He just says, I want this time. I want this time. The Father wants this time. He says, I want to have you go to your room, quiet yourself, and recognize that I am listening to you. And then I want you to listen to me. And I want us to take some time together. You can pray wherever you go. But you can't have this moment in a mall. You can't have this moment in rush hour. God, I pray that person would turn off the road because they are the worst driver in town. No, that's not that moment that he's looking for. Maybe God will answer. Turns off the road. Maybe. I don't know. But that's not what God is saying he needs from us. That's not what he's saying he wants from us. Get yourself behind the closed doors. Move yourself into a room. And then I love this. He says, pray to your Father who is unseen. Isn't it great to know that Jesus recognized that the Father was unseen? Some of us think like, well, if I'm going to pray, then I'm going to walk into the room, and I'm going to pray. If I don't see God physically, I guess it didn't work. You know, if I don't hear his audible voice in that moment, I guess God doesn't exist. Jesus Christ, Son of God, guy who goes and prays to God all the time on his own, to the Father, over and over, says he doesn't do anything without going to the Father. That Jesus Christ says, when you go and pray, pray to the Father who is unseen. Jesus says that. I think sometimes that's actually really encouraging. Because sometimes I stopped praying because I wasn't seeing God. Oh, okay. So you stopped praying because the exact same thing that Jesus said happened? You weren't seeing God? Come on. Devote yourself to this. Devote yourself to getting in the door, in the bedroom, closing the door, and spending time with the God who is unseen. So then what should we say to that God? Well, first Jesus says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He'll reward you. Before, he said, the reward for those hypocrites is people's praise. If you go into your room and close the door, God will reward you. I wonder what Jesus meant. What would be the reward? You know, finally I'll get what I want. Finally, I'll go into my room. Okay, God, I'm here. I'm tired. I don't know why. I just had to come home from that situation to pray for this. But anyways, will you just give me a wife? Would you just give me a husband? Would you just give me a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Okay, God, I don't know why I had to come home into my room, but now would you just give me that job? And he doesn't. Or maybe he does. Sometimes he doesn't. You say, well, what is the reward then of me going to pray? The reward of you going to pray every time is that you get to know that the Father who loves you and made you and created you and continues to have an ear to your problems and your challenges and your difficulties, that Father will be with you from the moment that you go into that room to the point you come back to it. That Father wants to walk with you. He's not a genie that just says, yes, I'll give you what you want. What is it? Okay, there you go. Bye-bye. Carry on. But that's not the reward that he's looking to give you. The reward he's looking to give you is his presence. It's his life. So even if your circumstances don't change, he'll be with you throughout them. And if they do, he'll still be with you. If his answer is a yes, a no, maybe so, sometime later, I'm not sure when, we'll wait on that, I'll hold on, keep tight, whatever his answer is, his reward is that he'll be with you. It says, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Sometimes we think that, don't we? The number of times that I've had people who are kind of new to Christianity. Hey, would you like to pray for us? I don't know what I'd say. Sometimes we've done that, haven't we? A pastor has done that, because the pastor, every time he prays, it's got to be a long prayer. You know, or whatever, you've got to use these words, or we've got to quote these scriptures. You have to make sure you cover all of your bases, whatever. Jesus actually says, stop that. Don't go too crazy on the babble and chatter and carrying on and making sure that you cover all these things. He's actually, next week, he's going to actually tell us exactly what to say, or at least the concepts of what to say. But right now he says, hey, just don't keep on babbling on and on and on. Well, why not, Jesus? He says, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Isn't that a crazy concept? So, Jesus, here's what you're telling me. You're telling me that to pray effectively, I need to go into my room. No one else can see me. I need to close the door. I need to start talking with the Father who is unseen. He's going to reward me not with actually necessarily my circumstance changes, but he's going to reward me with his presence and his life to give to me. Oh, and by the way, I don't even need to tell him. I didn't even have to go in there to tell him what I need because he already knows what I need. What is that? You know? People say, what is that? Well, how am I going to get what I want? You don't even know what you want until you've spent this time. You can't know. You can't know what God wants for your life until you know God. You can't know the dreams that he has for you until you've spent time with him. You can't know the passion that he wants to lay on your heart until you've put aside some time and sat before him. You can't know what he's calling you to. You can't know what he wants to give to you. You can't know the good gift of his love unless you've sat with him and you've allowed yourself to know it. You can't know the healing that he does to a heart by wandering around in the mall and asking him to give you all the things that you see. You can't know the restoring that he would like to do in your life if you never spend time with him and allow him to listen to you. Since he listens, why aren't we talking? Since he listens, why aren't we spending time? Since he listens, why aren't we allowing him to heal our heart? He's listening. That was never the problem. He's listening. He wants to know. He wants intimate relationship with you. Worship team, you can come and join me. My wife and I, Kendall and I, have a busy life. We've got a lot going on. We've got 3 kids now. I'm working on my master's degree. I chair a school board. I teach at a school. By the way, we still have 3 kids. We do a lot of stuff. And our communication is sometimes a little bit different each week. Sometimes our communication is just, Kendall, can you please, do you mind if you go and change that diaper? Evan, can you please go and get that kid dressed? Did you know where the boots went? Can you go and find the boots over there? Evan, can you please do the dishes, actually? Are you going to make dinner? Who's gonna actually cover that thing? Can you sweep that up quickly? Are you going to take them? Are you going to drive them there? Yeah, you drive them there. Can you load up the kids for me, please? Oh, can you transfer this seat to that car? And can you do that, please? Can you get them to the school? Can you please walk through all this stuff? Are you going to spend some time with them today? Can you go and put them to bed? Can you go back up and put them to bed? Oh, they're still up. Can you go put them to bed? Can you just go do that, please? And the end of the day, we go, sleeping time. Just go to bed. Wake up and do it again. You know, we communicate a lot in those days. We talk to each other all day long in those days. And not only that, we make our heart known to each other. Our frustrations are sometimes called very clearly in those moments. I thought I said I need you to do this. Why aren't you doing this? You know? I'm going to do this. I asked you to do it, but that's fine. I'll do it now. You know, we share that with each other. We let it all out. We carry on. There it is. Everything is on the table for sure. But if that's how life looks for us, and we never change our pace, we never have intimate relationship, I'm meaning emotionally, if we never close the doors on life, share our hearts, it doesn't matter how much we communicate in a day. It doesn't matter how many times we do something for each other and we carry the load together and do all that stuff together, because we're doing it together, we're communicating, and we're supporting one another. Shouldn't that be enough for a healthy relationship? No. We'll just watch ourselves growing apart like this. While we're shoulder to shoulder doing the work, our hearts start pushing elsewhere. Wouldn't we think it's the same with God? God, I asked you to do this and you did it. But God, you asked me to do this and I did it. But God, we've been doing all these things together. I've talked to you like 10 times today, God. I've asked you to do all these things. We've done all this and this and this and this. And we followed through on all these things. Oh, God, what's the problem? I don't get it. Why don't I feel you? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you with me? What's going on? Why can't I feel your presence? No. He's with you. That's actually a reward that comes when you get into the bedroom, when you close the door, when you start talking to the Father who is unseen. That's the reward you get. Say, well, then I have to do all this specific prayers? No. Don't babble on. Don't figure it all out. Just give him some time to show you that he's listening. And since he's listening, you can speak. You can share. You can be open. And you can allow him to shape, heal, restore your heart. I'd love to pray for you today. So let's all go into this room and close the door. No, just kidding. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that you may have some experiences like this. And devote yourself to relationship with the Father who is unseen, so that you might experience his presence in your life, which is the reward for devoting yourself to that kind of relationship. Lord, thank you so much that you have made it abundantly clear that you listen. You listen, God. We know that without doubt. When we look in the Bible, we can see that without doubt. And Lord, the same skill of listening can be treated so differently by the same person. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't treat you like a butler who listens really well and does what we say. But we treat you like a counselor who listens really well and heals our heart, restores us to where we should be. Teach us to come to you, Lord. Teach us that you want an intimate relationship with us. And thank you that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.